Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Scott Eckersley filling in for Cheryl today. She's actually judging at the open casting call for the television show Big Brother. That's happening at Champion Chrysler Jeep Dodge here in Lansing. All eyes are on the Capitol this week as budget negotiations get into full swing. Longtime Michigan political analyst and editor of Inside Michigan Politics, Bill Ballinger, joining me to talk about the latest developments. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Glad to be here, Mike.
Now, you've seen a lot of budgets passed and have yourself directly been involved in the process. How realistic is Governor Snyder's call for legislators to pass a budget by the end of May?
Well, compared to what we've seen the last few years, it doesn't seem very realistic, but I will say that he is a determined man, and he does have a legislature controlled by his own party, the Republicans. They have the majorities in the House and Senate, and they seem to be on the same page with him, saying they're going to aim for May 31st as well. So if it can get done that early, now's the time to do it. Most people think it's probably not going to quite make that deadline, but look, if it could be passed by the middle of June or even the 4th of July, that would be so much better than what we've seen for the last 15 years that everybody would stand up and cheer.
Now, Democrats say they're being shut out of the budget process. I mean, with Republicans in full control of the state government, is that to be expected?
Well, unfortunately, it is. And when the Democrats controlled the House for the last 4 years between 2006, 2010, you heard the same complaints from the Republican minority in the House. Now, of course, Republicans still controlled the Senate during that time. Democrats couldn't completely control Republicans, but unfortunately, Mike, whenever a party, whichever party it is, Democratic or Republican, get into the majority, either in the Congress or the state legislature, you hear a lot of complaints about, being treated unfairly and not being included from the minority. It just always happens, and every time there's a turnover or change in party leadership or majority status, the new party comes in and says, well, we're going to do things differently. You know, we're not going to allow, the other party to suffer the way we did. And yet when you look at the results maybe half a year later, it always seems to come out exactly the same.
And when it comes to this budget, Democrats have at least one clear message, which is that the governor is taxing seniors, cutting school funding, and slashing all kinds of programs, all to fund a big break in the business tax. Are they right, and is there anything wrong with doing that?
Well, those are two good and very separate questions. The answer to the first question or statement, I would say, is yes. That is exactly what the Republicans or the governor is doing. He is taxing seniors. He is cutting funding to schools. And he is giving tax breaks to business. That's all true. Now, the big issue or question is that automatically a terrible thing? Democrats believe they've got public opinion on their side and that the public does not want to see school children education penalized by budget cuts or teachers and educators compensation slashed, and does not want to see seniors taxed, and does not like big business or small business big well enough to applaud their getting tax breaks. That's what the Democrats believe. However, we live in a very terrible economic climate in this state. We have for a decade, and the governor is insisting that to get the economy firing on all cylinders, we've got to give some breaks to business and get them jump-started again to create jobs, because everybody, Republicans and Democrats, agree that getting our unemployment rate down, creating jobs, getting our economic engine operating the way it should be, that's the main goal. And if you do that by helping business, that's a price we've got to pay. We've got to cut some programs to popular constituencies. Mm-hmm. And only time will tell whether Governor Snyder and the Republicans are right.
I'm talking to Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Now, the governor's approval ratings have fallen slightly in recent polls, but his disapproval rating appears to be significantly down since he started unveiling his plan. Are Michigan voters getting what they bargained for?
Well, I think for a long time, Michigan voters were just confused about what Governor Snyder really was planning to do. They were accepting him at face value as being a gentleman, a very decent person, somebody who wasn't into name-calling, who wasn't confrontational, who seemed to want to work with Democrats and people who ordinarily might oppose the things he stood for. But they didn't really know what he wanted to do, and now it's come out. And, of course, some of what he's proposed, as we just discussed in the past few minutes, are unpopular things. So, you know, his approval ratings have dropped. Disapproval went up. Now, whether it's plateaued at this point and isn't going any higher for the time being, that may be just because I haven't seen any recent polls, or it may be because people are waiting to see whether maybe the legislature really does deliver on what the governor is talking about. I think there'd be so much happiness over that occurring, because it's so rare, as we've discussed, mm-hmm. to get a budget passed, that they might say, look, let's give him a chance to see whether this works or not. It doesn't necessarily look that good to us, but it may work. So let's see what happens in the next year or so.
And when the governor presented his plan, some predicted that the budget proposal would face significant challenges by even Republican legislators. So far, he's compromised on the pension tax. Do you anticipate other areas where he'll face significant resistance?
Well, among Republicans, you know, it remains to be seen whether he is going to get the 20 votes he needs in the Senate, in particular, to pass what's left of his pension tax. That's been cut dramatically down from the $900 million that he hoped it would yield to about $300 million. He's got to keep any more than six Republicans from deserting the 26-member majority Senate Republican caucus. Seemingly on all the other issues, Mike, they've got a deal that looks like it should pass both the House and Senate. Sure, the Democrats are going to oppose it, but as you mentioned earlier, they are in a minority in the Senate. It's a very deep minority, 26 to 12. The Republicans have a supermajority. In the House, it's substantial, but it's not that big. But they really can't, the Democrats, do anything to resist what the governor is trying to push through unless there's some major defections from the Republicans in either chamber or both, and I just don't see that happening at this point.
How about the plan to eliminate the earned income tax credit? That's another thing the governor is proposing. Are there likely to be any political ramifications from cutting this credit on Michigan's poor working families?
Well, again, it's viewed as being a pretty popular tax credit, even though it's a fairly recent one. It only was enacted about 5 years ago. We never had one before that. And I think Snyder has made it a little more appealing, the fact that he's going to be eliminating it, by giving some more homestead tax credit relief to low-income people, and also maybe helping a little bit on the pension tax. Low-income people, or people, I should say, that aren't so much low-income as older people, many of whom are low-income, and that takes some of the sting out of axing the earned income tax credit. It won't completely make up for it, but I think it takes some of the sting out of it, and I don't think you're going to find enough Republicans defecting from the governor on this that they could band together with Democrats and stop it.
You know, earlier this year, we saw almost daily protests, union members, teachers, retirees, students, against the governor's plan, having served in both the state and House, the state House and Senate yourself. Do these types of demonstrations have any impact at all on the decisions being made?
They haven't so far. Now, of course, there were more demonstrations in just the past 2 days. Yesterday, the unions were here in Lansing. Today, the Tea Party showed up. So far, it appears to me that the legislature has pretty much gone about its business and passed what it decided it wanted to pass, regardless of the demonstrations either outside the Capitol or inside the Capitol. In fact, more legislation has been enacted under Governor Snyder so far in the first 100 days he's been in office than was enacted in the first 100 days of Jennifer Granholm becoming governor or in the first 100 days that John Engler became governor. A lot of people think that John Engler was kind of the gold standard in terms of getting things done, and all he had to do was crack his whip or snap his fingers and things happen. Well, the fact of the matter is more has happened under Snyder than under Engler so far.
I've been talking to Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Thank you, Bill, for joining me.
Hey, Mike, my pleasure.
Coming up, I'll be talking to State Senator Burt Johnson. I'm Michael Cohen. We'll be right back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS.